Hello there, you're very welcome along to the Football Family. My name is Paul Dollery and this is a podcast which is exclusive to you, the members of the 42. It's great to have you with us as we get stuck into another international window. The focus of our attention on this episode is, of course, Ireland's World Cup qualifier away to Azerbaijan on Saturday. And joining me as ever to look ahead to the game are football journalist David Snaid and the 42's own Gavin Cooney. How are you doing, lads?
Hey, Dad.
Morning, all good.
Gav, you've made the long journey out to Baku for this one. You were your own biggest critic for your performance out in Portugal when it came to the booking of the trip. Tell us, have you been able to learn from where you went wrong the last day? And are you confident that you've made the improvements to your game going forward?
Yes, Daz. I've let everyone make decisions for me. So I just asked the other journalists when they were flying and where they were staying. So I did that. I did book the wrong flight initially to go out on Thursday, but I changed that to Wednesday, which did mean a 9-hour layover in Istanbul airport last night, yesterday, last week. I've lost all concept of time and space, but I'm hysterical with lack of sleep, Dolls. I got into this hotel room about 3 hours ago and slept for about 2.5. So I haven't seen much of Baku yet, unfortunately, so I haven't got much from frontline reporting here for you yet.
Okay, maybe we'll get the lowdown on Baku as a tourist destination on next week's episode. I suppose, Gab, from Abbottstown to Azerbaijan, you've been with the squad over the past several days. Callum Robinson's press conference on Tuesday obviously caused a bit of a stir, and we'll get to that in a minute. But what's the mood around the camp been like in general? I mean, from the outside looking in, considering how desperately Ireland need a win, Stephen Kenny and his players seem relatively relaxed and upbeat. Is that a fair observation?
Yeah, before the Robinson stuff kicked off, the vibes were good. They were pretty relaxed. They squatted a rare opportunity to spend a few days together and train rather than jump on a plane and go straight to a match. We're used to these sprints of 3 games in 6 days. They've pretty much nearly a whole week to prepare for this game against Azerbaijan on Saturday. Before Callum Robinson was put up before the press, the conversation was, as it always has been, is Stephen Kenny the right man for the job? We've heard Matt Doherty give him his full-throated backing in that interview with Irish Football Fan TV. Robinson actually did likewise, praised that the work Stephen Kenny and his coaches are doing. But then Callum Robinson continued talking, and the whole dynamics of this international window changed.
Yeah, maybe we should just address the elephant in the room right from the top then. I mean, COVID has already featured far too prominently, Dave, as a talking point during the Stephen Kenny era. And while I'm sure our listeners are sick of it too, it would be remiss of us not to address it. Callum Robinson's admission that he hasn't yet been vaccinated, and he's not sure if he will be vaccinated at all. Stephen Kenny's comments about this, Dave, they kind of reminded me of the old Alan Partridge sketch where Peter O'Hanrahan is reporting from Brussels, and he says he's spoken to the German finance minister, who said he didn't like the deal, but he had to go along with it.
I wish I watched more on the Partridge, and then I'd properly get that reference. what you call it, I know. Yeah, there's a couple of things with it. I think Stephen Kenny maybe is caught in a difficult situation in the sense that he said that, you know, he can't be not including players because they haven't got it. But I kind of think, like, he's not a club manager, so it's not as if you're kind of denying someone their employment by choosing not to include them. And I would actually be of the opinion that he has a responsibility to his staff, he has a responsibility to the people around the place and other squad members who maybe don't, that if he felt, you know what, people who aren't vaccinated won't be getting called up, well then that's what should happen. The fact that he's still getting tested and he clearly hasn't got it if he's in camp. But I don't know, I think, not that it's a cop-out, but I think, I don't know what Gav thinks on this, but like it's international football, so it's not as if, as I mentioned earlier, that you're denying someone their right to employment or whatever, and asking their vaccine status. So I think that international manager should and could be capable and able to actually make a stand and say, listen, for the safety of people around the camp, anybody who's not vaccinated won't be getting called up. And I don't think anybody would have any qualms with that. If it was to the clearly, obviously, with the number of players that you said was a single figures who haven't got it, it would severely weaken his hand. But I think that there's also a responsibility there to other players in the group, and also those people who aren't vaccinated. Do you know what I mean? Don't think it's right having fellas coming over who weren't, like, Maxim literally made his point yesterday. I was over at a match in England at the weekend, and the difference in terms of what life is like over in England, to just being in an absolutely crammed, rammed pub before the game, people singing, drinking all together. And then you still have so many restrictions in terms of around Premier League clubs and say Championship clubs too. It's mad. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I can go into it in a little bit just about speaking to people at clubs. And even actually got a message from one manager yesterday saying that part of the reason maybe why so many players actually in England haven't got vaccinated yet is that maybe some clubs aren't actually the ones administering the jab, and it's not the club doctors doing it in the physio room before going out to training. And that could be a case of lads having to do it off their own bat. And that could be a major reason for this as well, which was something that hadn't occurred to me. I just assumed that all clubs would have this in-house, like their testing privately done and get it sorted. But it was put to me that maybe part of the reason why there's been a lack of an uptake by so many players, not just the whole conspiracy theory thing, is the fact that they have to go and do it themselves and go to the NHS and go to their local hospital and actually get it sorted, you know?
Yeah. Gav, to pick up on Dave's point there, I mean, Stephen Kenny said on Tuesday as well that perhaps to exclude Callum Robinson from the squad because of this would be too radical. And maybe that would be the case if he was doing it on a point of principle. But as Dave said there, you know, Stephen Kenny probably has a duty as well to protect the other members of his squad and his staff, those members who have chosen to be vaccinated.
Yeah, it's it'd be radical, all right, is how he put it. And because no one else, I don't think any other manager in world football at club or international level has taken that stance.
Sorry for going across here. And just because no one else has done it doesn't mean it's radical. Do you know what I mean? Like, it does strike me as still a very football attitude to this, you know, like, listen, we need our best players out, blah, blah, blah. That's how it does strike me. I think it's a bit of a cop-out to say it is radical. I do actually think that it's not. Like, just because no one else is doing it doesn't mean it's radical. Like.
Yeah. I guess one of the reasons he feels he can't do it is because there's too many players who haven't been vaccinated, and he needs to win games to keep his job. You know, it's the...
Yeah.
When people want Ireland to be pragmatic, and Stephen Kenny to be pragmatic, he's been pragmatic over this. So it's so... It's just so disappointing, really, you know? I mean, Callum Robinson says, my body, my choice. But not really when it comes to this, because it's a public health issue. And you get vaccinated for yourself, but you also get vaccinated for the health of the people around you. Like, it is an act of solidarity. And, like, not to get too emotional about this, like, but, like, the whole, like the people that'll flood the Aviva Stadium, okay, they might not be going in their droves to see the Qatar game, but it'll be full house for Portugal game. And like everyone in that crowd has sacrificed something during the pandemic. And the vast majority of that crowd will have got vaccinated because they realize it's best for themselves and also the people around them. So the idea that level of solidarity among the Irish people is not being mirrored and represented in the Irish football team is just really, really disappointing. And we have seen then in the aftermath of this, so this is a big story, like, because, and you kind of knew it was going to be big as soon as Robinson started talking. He was asked, like, it was a polite and respectful conversation. It wasn't a full on interrogation from the hacks assembled in front of him. He was asked, he was asked in the context of Jurgen Klopp's comments, do people and footballers have a responsibility to get vaccinated? He said, no, it's people's choice. Then he was asked, well, what's your choice? And he said, my choice is I haven't been vaccinated yet. It may change in the future, but that's just my choice. And then we went down, I was like, but why? And he said, that's just my choice. So we don't really know why, you know? I mean, is there a physical reason? That's a really interesting point that David made that I hadn't heard before. The fact that it isn't being administered in-house, is that the reason? Is he reading conspiracy theories on the internet? Is that the reason? And then we've seen, while I was in the air on the way to Baku, seen some classic crisis communications from the FAI. We got a statement out. We haven't got a statement addressing a matter of concern in quite a while. And then, kind of bizarrely, the Irish Under-21's press conference that was scheduled for yesterday was meant to be in person, but then that reverted to on Zoom. I don't have an explanation for that. I was only made aware of it in the wee hours of this morning. So, big story.
And what's interesting from this is, like, over the last couple of days, like, I spoke to a coach at a Premier League club yesterday, and like, there's genuinely with some of them, there's actually a feeling, and it just shows you maybe a bit of the bull, but also maybe what they've been doing with, say the testing every week, that one fellow, he said, like, well, there's no actual benefit in terms of your working day to get the vaccine, because you still have to get tested twice a week. You still have, there's still social distancing happening in dressing rooms. So players and coaches and all the rest of it still have to stay 2 meters apart when they're going around. They still have to wear their masks. Like, there's still so much protocol. And he was putting it to me, and you can understand it. Like, he was sort of saying that they're kind of feeling that it's not even, all this isn't almost being done now for their own benefit. It's basically just to keep the Premier League on the show on the road. So there's not another shutdown, because they need to keep the money rolling in. So they're saying stuff like, well, normal life returning outside of their football clubs. Some players are getting the vaccine, because it's not a case of every single player is not getting it. But then he's also saying that there's lads in dressing rooms up and down the country, but he was using examples of what he knows, just lads being sheep in dressing rooms and listening to other people. But then also, and he wasn't the one who said this, this was mentioned to me afterwards by a different manager, actually, which I found bizarre, but mentioned that about the fact that it could be done through the NHS could be a reason that players just might not be arsed going off their own bat and arranging. I would have thought, I would assume it has to be the case that clubs would surely arrange this for players, like spoon-fed. And like, so many Premier League players are spoon-fed everything that happens in terms of their working week and everything that's laid on for them. So it does strike me as totally bizarre that the vaccine wouldn't be as well. But then it was something that I hadn't even occurred to me, and that was put to me. But it was also put to me as well that this whole hesitancy around getting something like this isn't new. Like, players, it's the same around, maybe not the same level of skepticism and maybe conspiracy theories or all the rest of it, but even around getting the flu jab, that players in dressing rooms when it comes to flu season and the club doctors arranging it, but players won't get it, you know? So I do have a major degree of sympathy and a little bit for Callum Robinson, and how I do feel as if, because he's come out and said it, and like Gav will know, and you'll know, Paul, when you speak to him, like, he's such an affable fella. Like, he's one of the nicest people you'll actually speak to. He's like very generous with his time. Like, he's never struck me as, for want of a better word, just someone who is extremely selfish and couldn't be arsed and would like, is a bit arrogant or whatever. Like, it doesn't come across like that as a fella. So I just think, like, anyone, like, I don't know if he's being lost down rabbit hole, or we can't really speculate, because he didn't properly give his reason, just because he said it was his choice and his reason. But the point, and it was a good one that Gav made earlier, about so many people have sacrificed so much when people have begun to see them. To think that some players think that they're maybe above it or don't have to do the same, it's quite annoying, to be honest. And also, the point that Gav made about this, the 21 Zoom, like, that'd be understandable, because, like, you kind of, I'll be honest, I wouldn't want to be going in doing a one-on-one interview or being in a room with a fella who I knew wasn't vaccinated, in terms of came out and said it. It would kind of put you off a small bit, because from the point of view of, like, it's just, you're putting them at risk a little bit then. They're obviously, you don't know what the situation is, you know. It's very,
we have to be vaccinated to get into the room to do the press conference, which is a strange kind of inconsistency. Just one thing does to pick up on what David said there, that there's no inducements or benefits at club level in terms of protocol to be vaccinated or not. They do exist at international level. So everyone is tested before they come into camp, or just as they gather in camp. But if you're vaccinated, that's the last PCR test you have to do in an Irish camp. Whereas if you're unvaccinated, you have to be tested 72 hours before each match, and then obviously return a negative. So, like, I had to get a PCR test to come into Azerbaijan, and, like, I think you get vaccinated just for the sake of not having to do them, because they're absolutely horrible.
And they're Premier League, the Premier League players are still doing that twice a week. So even lads who have been vaccinated, apparently, was one of the reasons that people were saying, well, you get the vaccine, that should put an end to all the testing and all the stuff you have to go through. But apparently it's not the case, that lads, even when they've been vaccinated, still have to get their tests twice a week, because it's like the Premier League are properly not coming down hard, but are really being stringent and making sure that there's no major issues. But then I suppose the one thing they can't do is actually force people to get the one thing that would make it a lot safer, which is get the vaccine. And
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of bookend this, lads, as you were kind of alluding to there, Dave, I'll put it to you, Gav. You know, I do feel an element of sympathy for Callum Robinson, even as someone who is vaccinated, and I do disagree with his stance. However, he seems to become something of a kind of a sacrificial lamb here, because he's coming from a demographic, as we've been saying, where refusing the vaccine is quite common as things stand. I mean, as an unvaccinated footballer, he's made a decision which is not bucking any sort of a trend within his domain. And I know you shouldn't use social media as a barometer for rational reactions, but you'd be forgiven for thinking that he's guilty of murder over the last couple of days with some of the grief that he's been getting. And I suppose when in reality, the only thing he might perhaps be guilty of is being misinformed. Like, I can't imagine that Callum Robinson has any desire to be a spokesperson or a poster boy for the anti-vaccine movement. And to that end, maybe questions could be asked of the wisdom of putting him up on press duty this week. I don't know.
I don't know about that. I mean, like, if you judge by the numbers, like, I mean, single figures, like high single figures, low double digits of a 26-man squad are unvaccinated. Chances are you'll get an unvaccinated player up just because of the law of averages. And Robinson does press every Irish camp. There's a few Irish players that always do press. Gavin Bazunu is one of them. He was up the day before, and Callum Robinson always does. And he's like David said, really affable guy, very genial guy. You like to see him come through for press conference because he's good and he's engaged in what you're asking about. So, yeah, he was just honest, and he's kind of, I would imagine that he's regretting that honesty now. Anytime we've asked players before if they're vaccinated, because you don't know whether, you don't know the morals of it if you're asking as a journalist, you know, like there is a kind of an acceptance that, you know, private health information is off limits. Mm. But
I think with Robinson, the fact that he's had it twice and he's missed games, I think it was, as you were saying, obviously I wasn't in for that press conference and stuff last week, but it was, I think it was, well, you were saying it was true what Klopp was saying, but for someone like Robinson to be put up, I would say, like, you would expect like one of the first things that people will want to be talking to him about would be being back around the place. The fact that he's had COVID twice, what was it like? It's a natural kind of topic of discussion to be brought up with him for him. And you would have imagined, I'm guessing, listen, like the way it is, like the FAI now in terms of like they always do, like they would brief players and they would give lads a heads up about maybe what's in the news, what's new, like what's kind of being talked about and what they might have to be answering questions of. That's been happening for years anyway. So like, I don't think it was wrong that he was put up. I'd say, like, and 100% don't think he was wrong to answer the question as he did, because he was honest, and that's all you can ask for, you know what I mean? Well, the only thing I wish he had done was maybe elaborate a little bit more and give more of his reasons, because then you could actually, then you'd have more of an opinion on it one way or the other, because at the moment it's just, as you were saying, what was it, my choice, my body kind of thing, which just sounds a bit, I don't know, I think that's a bit of a, again, if you came out and said he was afraid of getting it, or he didn't trust certain things or whatever, then you can kind of say, well, okay, that's where he's coming from, and then you've got a bit more of a reason to debate about it. Whereas at the moment we're still talking about it here a couple of days later, because it does feel as if it's still something that's lingering, because what else is being said around the camp, who else hasn't got it, and it's kind of going to be a talking point until, I know the FAI addressed it with a statement, but it's still going to be there, you know, in future camps, and it will be something now that'll be brought up, and it's only natural and it's only fair that it should be, because I think it's only right.
Yeah, I'm sure at this point our listeners are probably shouting at us to talk about a bit of football, lads. So let's do that just now.
They won't be saying that on Saturday.
They'll be longing for a good old vaccine debate after the game on Saturday. Yeah. Dave, this is something that has been discussed a lot recently, especially since the Luxembourg game. But there's probably a need for people to lower their expectations when it comes to this Ireland team, because the quality, as we know, isn't there for them to reach the standards of the past. And however, having said that, is it also fair to say that we should still expect to go to places like Azerbaijan and get results? And even though we couldn't do that at home, Stephen Kenny and his players now know exactly what Azerbaijan are about. And while the reverse is also true, you'd like to think that that'll help Ireland's cause on Saturday.
Yeah, like, absolutely. All you have to do, if you're taking the rankings and you're taking Azerbaijan's kind of recent history in terms of results, of course you should be expecting to beat them home and away. That's just the nature of it. And I don't think it's being arrogant or it's being foolhardy to say that Ireland should be beating Azerbaijan home and away or beating Luxembourg at home. I think that is what Ireland, the minimum that Ireland should be doing in this group. It hasn't happened, and part of the reason is obviously because some of the changes that are being made and some of the kind of for the want of a better word, kind of a bit of pain to see a bit of progress. Again, I've made a point in this game now, it is just about winning this game, but it's not at the expense of throwing out everything that the Ireland management team have kind of been working towards over the last year, 18 months, and saying, right, we're going to just do something totally different just to get this win. I think it's about seeing that what they're working on is actually beginning to deliver and can deliver in these type of games now. That's why it's important. So he has to win, and that is the most important thing. But again, it's not at the expense of what they've been working on. I was actually only, don't know how it cropped up on Instagram, but I remember something like to do with Gary Neville, which seems to be everywhere, which is only natural. So it's only natural that he should be brought into a discussion on the Irish national team. But I remember he made a point that when he was the manager of Valencia, that he kind of realised that he lost respect to the players when he was doing one thing for the first couple of months at Valencia and wanted him to implement a certain style and how he was going about it. And because results weren't going his way and things weren't happening for him, he kind of changed. And then that's when the players knew that he was gone, like, because he hadn't got those convictions to stay with it. So I kind of think that with Kenny, that's the same thing. I don't think it's something that he will do. I don't think he's going to panic. I don't think that hopefully the players won't panic, but it's just now in this game, it's about people will accept a poor performance if they see that they're still trying to do what Kenny is wanting and how they're going about things and how they're playing, and maybe a bit of an improvement on the performance against, not sorry, an improvement, but just maybe just get a bit of luck as well. Because I do think even in that last international window, that the Azerbaijan game was obviously the most disappointing. I think it was probably the worst timing of the game, coming like slap bang in the middle right after a very tough game against Portugal and before playing Serbia. But yeah, like the simple fact, and I'm sure it'll be mentioned over the next couple of days before the game as well, is just win it and then get a bit of breathing space, try and enjoy the match on Tuesday and put in a good performance, and then hopefully finish the campaign with a flourish. But I think a flourish would just be a couple of draws, wouldn't it? But I think people would be happy with that. It's just about seeing, because I do kind of think that it's weird kind of going in, like, if you look at it, I don't think that it's exactly like an Ireland team that's in disarray, considering that the results have been so poor. It's not as if you've been looking at them and thinking, what is going on? Like, they're all over the shop. Like, defensively, they're all over the place. Like, I know Serbia would have had a couple of goals if it wasn't for Gavin Bazunu, but there's still plenty to see in this Ireland team that they should be beating Azerbaijan. That's the thing. Like, that there's, you're seeing enough that they should be saying that, you know what, these are games they should be winning. And that's just the simple nature of it. And then hopefully finishing the group with a bit of a revenge against the mighty Luxembourg.
Yeah, Gav, the outcome of the game, it seems like it could go a long way towards determining whether Stephen Kenny is still in charge for the Euro qualifiers. I guess the best way for him to convince the FAI that Ireland can win games on his watch is by actually winning some games. So even though World Cup qualification is now gone, this seems like a very, very important one for Stephen Kenny.
Yeah, it's the best opportunity he has left to win a game. Yeah, Ireland aren't really good enough, I don't think, and haven't been good enough over the last 5 years to expect to beat anyone. Like, I mean, since Robbie Keane retired, in competitive games at home, we've beaten Moldova, Georgia twice, and Gibraltar, and that's it. You know, so we shouldn't really be expecting to roll over anyone. But if we are going to expect to roll over anyone, Azerbaijan should be near the top of that list. Ireland have been better away from home under Kenny so far. I think given a little bit more space, they're still struggling to break teams down when they sit deep against Ireland at home. So, yeah, I think it's just all the noise, and like at least the conversation can change a little bit if they go and win a game this weekend. You know, like we're always talking about progress made and we point to this and point to that, and then the riposte is, oh, it's a results business, and okay, it is, but look at this X, Y, and Z in terms of progress, which will go some way to securing results in the future. So the time has come to start securing those results. So I'd like anyone calling, clamoring for Kenny to go mid-campaign, I thought wasn't being fair to him. I think he needs a full campaign to give an adequate sample size on which he can be judged. So this Saturday in Baku gives Ireland their best chance yet of finally winning a competitive game.
Yeah, Will Keane was a bit of a left field inclusion in this Ireland squad. Gav, what can he bring to the team, and how likely is he to actually feature?
I don't think he's going to start in Baku. I might be wrong, but just we asked Stephen Kenny, and he said whether we can bring him in and start him straight away, I'm not sure. So we could see him off the bench. I'm not sure. I think what we might see him bring are some of the things that the team hasn't really had since David McGoldrick retired. Kenny has talked about Keane's intelligent link-up play, his hold-up play, his ability to see a pass and bring others into play around him, and then also his ability to score headed goals. Maybe Stephen Kenny saw all those crosses flew in against Azerbaijan, and only one of which actually ended up in the back of the net. So he's thinking maybe Will Keane can bring a bit of a finishing touch, and hopefully he's right.
Yeah, given your affinity to the red side of Manchester, Dave, I'm sure you've been aware of Will Keane for quite a while. How likely is he to play a prominent part in this Ireland team over the next few years, do you think?
Well, he's 28 now. He's one of them where if his career hadn't have been kind of stunted by some of the injuries he's had, probably would have been closer to playing for England. I think that was growing up. It was like Michael played for Ireland. There's obviously his brother who was now in England, full in England international and with Everton. And like Will was the one who seemed to be destined for great things, and obviously would have struggled, and he's had to rebuild his career. And from a point of view of determination on rest, it's actually good that you see him and he's still playing, because other people might have thrown the towel in from maybe what he's been through. So you have to say fair play to him. He's 28, so if he's delivering for Wigan, and if he's playing at the top end of League One, you would expect where Ireland are at the moment that he's going to be always in and around the mix to be involved in squads for the next couple of years. I suppose haven't kind of been making calls or making inquiries at the moment, but so I don't know how he's been in terms of settling in and what he's been like around the place. But I would imagine that will also have a factor in terms of, and I mean it's a nice pop away. It's not that you're having kind of doubts, because obviously he's obviously declared for Ireland, but the fact that it is something that, like, when he was younger, he could have done it as well. He could have played for Ireland when he was younger, chose to play for England, which is his respect, or which you have to respect, because obviously dual nationality. So it's just a case of how he takes to it in terms of how he is around the place. And like, I don't think he's kind of maybe the type of player, or maybe has had the career, or he is at a club or at a place in his career now where he can be kind of looking down and feeling that it's like a consolation prize to be there with Ireland. You would hope that's not what it is. It'd be bizarre if that's how he was approaching it, because why would you come back? Why would you say he wants to get involved? And the fact that maybe James McLean kind of put out a tweet welcoming would kind of suggest that he's a good fella, because I think McLean would probably be one of the first to hammer him, which if he wasn't. So if he adapts well and wants to be committed, and if he can deliver, like, this is the thing. Like, we've seen it with international football, and even say with Wales, and with Wales, I think some of the players like might not necessarily, and Northern Ireland as well, there might not necessarily be lads who deliver kind of at the top level for their clubs, but sometimes something can just click with an international team. And this is better late than never. If he's able to make Ireland better and he's committed to the cause, then fingers crossed he can actually improve the side. And we'll see if he's been doing it in training, and if he's looked sharp, I imagine he'll be in the mix for the spot. But I think Gav is right. I'd be surprised if he's thrown straight in for this game, purely as what Gav made the point earlier, because it's such a big game and one that Ireland should be winning. Will Kenny kind of stick with maybe some of the players that he already has and who he maybe trusts a bit more? And there's also a sense that, like, what would it do to maybe some of the other younger players who would their confidence be dented a little bit if they see someone coming in and just replace them? But then, that's the nature of football, isn't it? It's ruthless, and maybe they should be used to it and be prepared for it. And extra competition is no bad thing.
Yeah. When you gaze into your crystal ball, Gav, what does it tell you about how this game might play out?
1-1. That's generally how these things play out. No, I would be optimistic that Ireland will win.
Okay. Dave, what's your prediction?
I think Ireland will win 1-0. Set-piece goal.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to buck the trend and go against that anyway. Great stuff as always, lads. We're going to leave it there for now. It's Azerbaijan against Ireland in Baku on Saturday. Kickoff is at 5 p.m. Irish time, and the game is live on RTE2. Thanks to Gavin Cooney and David Snaid for sharing their expertise as always, and thanks to you, our members, for supporting the 42. We'll chat to you again soon.